right, take your Bibles and remain standing. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 8 through 17 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 8. You join me on verse 9. We'll alternate through the passage that way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. First Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 17. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that ask you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you. I pray that you'd help us. Lord, would you calm our hearts? Would you allow us to listen to you with a spiritual ear? Lord, I guess someday I would like to preach a good sermon, but it's not high on the list. I just want to give the people the truth that you've given me to give them today. May they be able to comprehend it, may they be able to assimilate it, and may they be able to use it in their life for many, many, many years to come. In Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. I need you to listen to me today. We read a passage here in 1 Peter chapter 3. In a little while, we will come back to this passage. I need to illustrate the sermon by telling you another passage of Scripture, but I didn't want to read them both, and I think it will help you more clearly understand the truth of the day if I start with the illustration before we actually get to the sermon today. So, all that to confuse you, just listen to me tell a story for a little bit, amen? But I will come back to 1 Peter chapter 3 in just a little while. In Luke chapter 15, we have the story that many of you, if you've been in church at all, know as the prodigal son. Here is a man who had two sons, a wealthy man, owned a business, and he had two sons, and they were adults, they weren't children, and they grew up through their dad's business. Eventually, one day, the youngest of the two sons said, "Dad, I've had enough. I want you to give me my inheritance. Give me of the portion of my living that I'm owed, and you don't owe me anything after that, and I'm going to leave the business, and I'm going to go do what I want to do." And the Bible said that the man cashed in and gave his son his portion of his living, his portion of his inheritance, and said, "Okay, here you go." Was it thousands or hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars? The Bible does not say. But we do know that the young man got his inheritance. And the Bible says he went out and wasted his substance with riotous living. We do know that he lived immorally. We do know that he went to a far country and he traveled and he lived it up. The Bible says that he spent and 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 he spent till it was all gone. Now, I'm sure the dad did not want to give him that money then. I'm sure the dad knew the intention was not good, but In the Hebrew culture of the day, it was owed to his son, so he did what he would do. He traveled. How many years or weeks or months it took, the Bible does not say. And honestly, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was weeks, doesn't matter if it was months, it doesn't matter if it was years. If you've ever had an adult child go and break your heart, one moment is bad enough. But we know it took some time. The Bible says when his money ran out, his friends ran out too. Isn't that true? You find out who your friends are when you don't have anything to give them. A famine comes to the land where he's at. They're in a bad famine. And while he's in this famine, he is about to starve to death. He gets a job at a farm, and I think to me this is one of the most humorous and yet humbling things in Scripture. He gets a job slopping hogs. Now, we don't think about that, but Jews consider hogs the dirtiest of all animals, and they're not even to touch them. Here's a little Jewish young man feeding pigs. Wow. That would be like us saying that you got a job in the sewer department steam cleaning septic tanks. It was the dirtiest of jobs. Who's the Mike Rowe or whatever the guy's name is that, you know, that's worse than going around picking up roadkill in the summer, amen? I mean, we're talking to a Jew, slopping hogs was worse than any job there was to be done. Now, he's at the bottom. Say, what did he get for working there? He was allowed to eat the husks of the corn that the pigs wouldn't eat. Now, the husk is not the cob. The husk is that those leaves on the outside of the corn. Have you ever shucked corn? That stuff's sharp. And did you ever taste it just for fun? There's no fun in tasting that stuff. There's not a whole lot of nutritional value, but it would fill your belly if you're hungry enough. And he ate it. The Bible says that one day, while he was slopping the hogs and tearing the husks off of what the pigs didn't eat, that he shook himself. He said, "What in the name of heaven am I doing? Here I am, slopping hogs. Here I am in the degradation of life, barely surviving. And the men that work for my daddy back at the farm are living better than I live. The people that are the daily laborers for my dad live better than I'm living right now." He said, "Huh. Bet you if I went back, my daddy might hire me back. He might let me be an hourly worker for him. I know the business. I know the job. I know I could do it." The Bible said he left where he was and traveled back home. And when he got back home, his dad was looking out every day to see where he was. And his dad looked down the lane and saw him and said, "Go kill the fatted calf. My boy's coming home." Let me say, I know how he feels. I had a boy that wandered for a while. I don't hide it. But I know what it was like when he came back home. Whew. By the way, got one semester of Bible college left, getting ready to start a church and working part-time on a church staff while he's going to Bible college. There's always hope. If they're still sucking air, there's still hope, folks. But I remember the day when the phone call came. He said, "Dad, I'm tired of running." Whew. Can't tell you what that was like. The only thing that could exceed that is being in heaven, I think. But the man said, "Yes, son, I'll hire you. I'll hire you back, but you're going to have to start at the bottom. You're going to be an employee. You'll be my son, but while we're at work, you're an employee. You're going to live with the employees. You're not going to live at the house because the house is your brother's, not yours. You already spent your inheritance. You're going to be treated like any other employee. He said, I'm going to throw a party for you. The Bible says that he put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet, gave him a new robe, and gave him a party because he welcomed him back. But guess what? The next morning he got up at 5:30 to go to work like everybody else did. Now, we know the story. The dad welcomed him back. He had wasted his substance on riotous living. He spent his future living by living wickedly today. The younger son wasted it. The older brother stayed home working, doing right. Matter of fact, the older brother said, Dad, I got a problem with this. He's been living like an animal, and he's even been slopping hogs. He comes back, and you give him a party. I've been here, Dad. He said, Son, what you don't understand is this. He's your employee tomorrow. Everything I own is yours. You've inherited everything that's here. Everything you helped me build from this point on, it's yours. Everything. He said, it's okay. One party won't hurt you because you got it all. Now, that's the story of the prodigal son. The younger son did not quit being the son. The younger son did not lose his inheritance. The younger son chose to spend his inheritance instead of waiting on it for the right time. Now, the Bible says in the passage we read a little while ago, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, knowing the last half of that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Wow. God said that you can inherit a blessing. Whew. Let me say this. There are no words in the King James Bible by accident. These are not man's words. These are God's words. They are given exactly as God gave them to us, word for word. You say, well, what happens if they were copied wrong? They weren't. Don't worry about it. God would be a liar. He said every word. Guess what? If there's not an every word Bible somewhere, God's a liar and we're all going to hell. There's got to be an every word Bible somewhere. And God wrote these words, not man. Peter did not write these words. God wrote them. He gave them word by word to Peter to put down on paper. But they weren't Peter's words. They're God's words. God says here that ye should inherit a blessing. Now, I love getting blessings. I don't know about you. Last Sunday I came out here and somebody had a 1 pound bag of Skittles on my pulpit. That's called inheriting a blessing. Amen? And it was a new flavor I had not tried. Orchard flavor. Man, they're cherry. Yeah, Brother Bob, hey, they're good. Yeah, they are. I even shared a couple with my in-laws last night. That's how, I like getting blessings. And I don't know about you, but I have more fun being a blessing than I do getting them. That's why I shared them with my in-laws. Amen. God says, do good to them which despitefully use them. now, wait a minute here. I love to be a blessing. I enjoy being a blessing. I enjoy getting blessings. Now, God, not Peter, God tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse number 9, that ye should inherit a blessing. God says there is a way for us to actually inherit a blessing. Now, I find that a very fascinating statement. Look at me if you will. An inheritance is what you get that is left by someone who precedes you in death. When a loved one passes away, and and I'm going to just be personal for a second. If my dad and my mom pass away, what they have left is to go to my brother and I. It's already set up in their will. It's already a part of what everything is. And by the way, I'm not looking for their things. I'd rather have them than their things. Amen? But I'm using this as an illustration. If my dad leaves me $1.98, my brother and I split it and both get 99 cents. Amen? That would be our inheritance. Now, it's the leftovers of someone's life after they are gone. That means all the things and the knickknacks and the tools and the knickknacks and the tools and the knickknacks and the tools. Those are all the things that are left, and the wood and all the other things. Those are the things that my brother and I then therefore inherit. And those are my mom and dad, or you as a person would say, these are the things I'd like to bless my family with when I'm gone. In my office, I have three things from my grandparents. I have two pictures on the wall, and I have a little desk-type, dresser-type thing that's in there that are from my grandparents. And they're very special to me. That was my inheritance. Now, Grandma's 97 years old, and I talked to her yesterday, and she's still living, but she kind of, she's in a nursing home, and she didn't have a place to keep everything. And she put names on things, and as she kept having to downsize, she started giving her inheritance out. And we got it a little early, amen? But that's okay. Those are things that mean something to me. Those pictures won't mean as much to you as they mean to me. One of them fell off the wall here a couple weeks ago. It's about 130 years old. It's in the original frame, everything. And I about had a heart attack. I thought, oh no. And Mrs. Rogers was here, and I said, Leslie, because she's good at these things. I said, what can be? She said, oh, I got all the stuff to fix it. So I gave it to Leslie. I said, Leslie, this is from my grandmother. These are old. These are older than you and I and Mark put together. And that's really old. But I said, these are about 130, could be even older than that. I said, please take care of it. You should have seen her. She was like, because she knew how much it meant to me. By the way, she fixed them up and sealed them up, and it was just fantastic, and I couldn't thank her enough. But, I mean, it had the original pieces of metal on it and screw. I mean, the metal just was so brittle it wore out and fell off the wall. I mean, they are old, 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 old. Now, wait a minute. God tells us that we can inherit a blessing. Listen to that statement. God says we can inherit a blessing. Well, who died and went before us? His name is Jesus Christ. Guess what? We get to inherit what our Father has left for us. But we Christians can be so selfish. We can want what we want so badly that we do not look past our wants. We don't look past our selfishness, and we go to God and say, like the prodigal son, Father, give me the portion of my blessing now. I want to go spend it now. I wonder how many Christians are borrowing from their inheritance to live here on earth. I wonder how many Christians have started spending their eternal inheritance now. Everybody doing all right? We want that house so bad, and we beg God for the money. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God for something you need, but let me tell you, when you can do it with the 2 or 3 bedroom, you don't need the 14 bedroom. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We want that new car so bad we ask God for the money, and I wonder how many times he says, okay, but you're spending a little bit of your inheritance to get it. I wonder. I wonder how many people are spending their blessing now instead of saving it for heaven. A few years ago, I was out front in my yard and working in the flower beds. And while I was out there, one of my neighbors came over, and she knew I was a preacher. And she said, "Oh," she said, "I bet you you don't make a lot of money." I said, "No, ma'am, we scrape by." I said, "It's okay." I said, "My retirement benefits are out of this world." I didn't even look up at her. She said, "Oh, really? What kind of retirement plan do you have?" And I looked at her and I went this way. She went, "Ah." Okay, you know, the light bulb kind of flipped a little late, but it came on. She said, "Ah, that's cute." I said, "It's true." I said, "I might not make a lot here, but I'm sending an awful lot ahead. I want to show you more about having blessings and getting them in abundance. I call it inherited blessings. Inherited blessings. Now, folks, I don't have one drop of charismatic blood in me, but I don't mind shouting for God. Amen. And this is one of those, you can go ahead and shout. It'll be all right. I want you to notice, number one, the will of God is to be the most important thing for us to do. Look at verse number 17. "For it is better if the will of God be so." It is better if the will of God be so. Can I tell you something? Living the will of God is the most important thing any human being can do in this world. But that will means something you don't think about. Look at me for a second here. Do you know what a will is? A will is a legal document that you file with a courthouse or a judge saying and declaring where all of your benefits go when you are unable to take care of them yourself. Guess what? I get to be a part of God's will. Matter of fact, if you die, you'll go to a reading of someone's will. And they say, in light of this person's last will and, what's the next word? Testament. I'm about to have a spell. This will is a legal document and has to be followed for you to get the benefits. Well, I happen to know something. This has got an Old Testament and a New Testament. And Jesus was the testator according to the book of Hebrews. Guess what? He was our testament and God gave us a will. And he said, you get to take part in the will and testament of God the Father himself. Matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 9, "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise a blessing, knowing it ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." God has benefits. God has blessings waiting for you. You just have to go to the reading of the will. Oh, I happen to know the Bible says that getting saved is part of the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you know that God does not want you to die and go to hell? I get sick and tired of people saying, "Well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell?" God doesn't send anybody to hell. God made the penalty paid for in full. All you have to do is accept it. He said, "I made it available for you, and I didn't even create hell for you. I created it for the devil and his angels. You are the ones that violated God by sin. He didn't make you go there. You chose it by your sin." He said, "I'll send you Jesus Christ to pay your sin debt for you. He'll live your righteousness for you. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved by being slain in the spirit or speaking in some jibber jabber somewhere. You don't get saved by your own works. You get saved by what Jesus Christ did for you. He paid the price for you so that you could become part of his will and testament." God is not willing that any should perish. Did you know that God does not want anybody to go to hell? God's not willing. He didn't put it in his will for you to die and go to hell. He put it in his will for you to get saved and go to heaven. But let me say this, then it's our responsibility to go out and tell everybody that. When's the last time you told somebody how to know for sure they're going to heaven when they die? God didn't say it's just for the preacher. He said it's for everybody. He didn't say it's just for the person who's been in church their whole life. It's for everybody. Well, I'm just not sure what to say. Come soul winning, we'll teach you what to say. If not, bring them to church with you, and I'll tell them for sure from behind this pulpit, for sure. Well, I'm just not sure what to say. Come see me. I'll help you. We'll train you. It's not hard. I'm about to have a shouting spell, Brother Mike. A will has to be written and legally approved and cannot be changed. Watch this. Do you know that the will of God is right there? This is the last will and testament of God the Father. It's all written. By the way, keep your cotton picking fingers off of it and quit changing it, man. 121 different versions of it. They've tried to change the will. By the way, they're all illegal. They have illegally changed God's will. They're non-binding contracts. The King James Bible is the only one in the English language for man. The others are imposters. They change the doctrines. They change the words. We won't get into that right now. I'll throw a fit about that later. But may I say this? Did you know that a will is not hidden? It's not a mystery? Too many preachers get up and preach this almost spooky mysticism about the will of God. Ooh, you got to find the will of God. Gag. Do you know I know where my dad's will is? Now, I can't tell you that I've read it. Say why? I don't like reading gobbledygook. And I really don't care. Say why? I'd rather have him than his will. Now, after he's gone, the will have to be read. I want to do things the way he and mom want things done. I want to do things with my in-laws the way they want things done. I've talked with them and with my parents this week about something, trying to help for the future for everybody as they get older. And just some understanding. By the way, let me say this, and I'm finding the more I say this, the less people know about this. Just because you have a will doesn't mean people have medical power of attorney. As you get older, somebody better have medical power of attorney so that when you're not able to make decisions, somebody else can. Your will doesn't cover your medical expense or your medical portion of making decisions before you die. All right? And I know that's foreign to a lot of people, but I do know what I'm talking about. Well, it's okay. My kids will figure it out. They're related to me. If somebody doesn't have it, watch this. They have to go to the court system and get it, and that takes a long time, and they're going to suck you dry. So, well, how come they don't tell you that? I don't know why, but I just did. That's what a preacher's supposed to do. Amen? Now, can I tell you something? Let me read a verse to you. Hebrews chapter 7. I'm about to have a holy spell here in a second. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 22. The Bible says, but by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Whew. Jesus was made a surety of a much better testament. Did you know the last will and testament was based on Jesus Christ? And he fulfilled it for you. Guess what? Listen to this. Brother Barnes, everything in that book's been paid for. God owns it. Yes, sir. Now watch this. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 17, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What's an heir? Somebody that gets part of the will. Somebody that's part of the inheritance. And God says that once you get saved, you have joint access, total access to everything God has because you're part of the family. I love Brother Stoltz. I do. Brother Stoltz is my friend. I've known Brother Stoltz for over 3 decades now. That's a long time. He had hair back then. And what hair he had wasn't gray either. Nor was mine. Now wait a minute. But do you know that if my mom and dad pass away and the will's being read, did you know that Brother Stoltz doesn't take part of that because he's not part of the family? Guess what? If you get saved, you're part of the family. And you have access to everything that God is through Jesus Christ. We become joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Number two, we can spend our blessings or our inheritance before we are supposed to have it. Wow. We can spend things from heaven before we are supposed to get it. If you turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read it when I get there because I have another half hour to preach and 15 minutes to do it in. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, watch this, verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer the loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now look at me. Did you know that when you spend your inheritance on earth, it's wood, hay, and stubble? Yes, sir. You are spending your heavenly reward while you're here on earth. You'll still go to heaven, but you'll not have what you could have had because you spent it while you were here on earth, just like the prodigal son. Did the prodigal son lose his inheritance? No, he did not. Did the prodigal son lose his ability to be the son of his daddy? No, he did not. But when he got to his father's house, he didn't have all the benefits he once had. Wonder how many of us Christians go through life. God, I want this. God, I want that. If you don't give me this, I'm going to pout and cry and I'm going to quit. Bunch of babies. Not long ago, we had somebody came and they didn't like some of the speech I used because I was too crude, too rough. I wanted to ask them what kind of music their kids listen to. Wanted to ask them what kind of television programs they watch. And they think I'm crude? People can't handle the truth. I'm not mad at them. I want them to come back. But may I say this? About time somebody slaps people upside the head with the truth. We live in such a sissified society. Well, you hurt my feelings. I'm offended. Hurt feelings doesn't mean you're offended. It means you need to toughen up a little bit. Don't you think I get my feelings hurt too? Guess what? Hurt feelings doesn't mean I should change what's right and wrong. Listen to me. Wood, hay, and stubble is our spending, our inheritance before we get to heaven. It is like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, the Bible says, Jesus looked at them and said, "Ye stand on the corner and you're fasting and you say, oh, pray for me, I'm fasting, I'm so hungry." And you stand and make these long, pretty prayers out in public to show everybody how spiritual you want to appear. And Jesus looked at them and said, "Ye have received your reward already." Wood, hay, and stubble. They weren't doing a bad thing. They were doing it so that people would look at them now. They were spending their inheritance while they were here on earth. Wonder how many times we want something and we say, "Oh God, but you got to give it to me. You got to. And God's saying, "It could be worth a whole lot more if you just wait. If you would just wait a little longer." "No, I got to have it now." "Okay, I'll give it to you." And you go out and waste it. It may be something that's not bad to have. But I wonder how many times we make God give us our inheritance before it's time. Prodigal son got his inheritance. Guess what? If he would have stayed with his father working all those years his father was still alive building that business, he could have inherited even more. We need to look at what we want and ask ourselves, is it worth waiting for? My in-laws and I, we were talking there. And this is not a bad thing. They've clicked some things off their bucket list, amen, on this trip. One of the things they had on their bucket list, we talked about it. I said, not me. They've changed their bucket a couple times while they were here. Can I tell you something? There's things I want to do, but I'm just going to wait till the millennium. I'm going to wait till I get to heaven. God's going to show me a better way, amen? Don't you think there's things I would like to do? Yeah. Guess what? I'm going to wait till it's God's timing. I want to go see Israel. Right now, it's not the safest time to go. So I guess I'll wait till Jesus sets up there, and it'll be better to see then anyway. I'm not worried about it. There's places I'd like to go. Now, I've been a lot of places, but there's places, there's things I'd like to see. Can I tell you something? There's some things I'm just going to wait till it's God's timing. I want comfort. I want my needs met. But there are some times I have to live uncomfortably so that I can live more comfortably later. Did you know, young people, when you get married and you're 20, 22, 24, 25, 30 years old, my daughter 40, when you get married, you're not supposed to live at the level your parents are living when you get married? Both sets of our parents are here. Both of them visited our first apartment. We thought it was a palace. This is no lie. Our first apartment could almost fit on this platform. I'm not kidding. If you'd extend the platform over to where the piano is, that's about how big our apartment was. We had a little studio apartment. We had a stove. It had two burners on it. And an oven about that wide. We had a refrigerator that was about that high and about that wide. We thought it was a palace. Now, neither one of us, our folks had much nicer places than we had at that point in time. But you know what? They didn't have any more fun than we had. We thought it was great. We went to California. We rented a 762 square foot, two bedroom house. $1,000 a month 25 years ago. $1,000 a month. We thought we were living in tall cotton. First month we lived there, we didn't have a refrigerator. My wife's laughing. I said, what'd you do? I had a cooler. We bought ice every other day. We kept everything in a cooler. Say why? We didn't have the money to get a refrigerator. And the landlord wasn't going to provide it. She said, I will, but it's going to take almost a month because I just don't have anything available. I said, okay. We lived out of a igloo cooler. We were having fun. We left that and went to South Carolina, rented a little brick house that my dad and I moved our things into. Have you ever moved to Charleston, South Carolina in August? And when we got there, the air conditioner was broke. You have never experienced heat and humidity like that. I promise you. We went from no humidity of the LA coast to all humidity of the Charleston coast. I mean, amen, Mrs. Lopez, she grew up there. I went from Long Beach to Goose Creek. And there was as much difference in culture as there is name. And then we moved to Hammond and rented an apartment, and Brother Hiles helped us buy a house, and then moved here and have lived in the same house for the last 13 plus years. Can I tell you something? I don't want anybody else's house. I like mine. You know, I wouldn't trade that we lived in that little studio apartment. Josh and Ruth Ann got married last July. We were there Thanksgiving. Do you know their apartment's about four times the size ours was? Man, they got a two-bedroom apartment, and it's got a kitchen. I mean, their kitchen and living room is bigger than our whole apartment was. And we had a bathroom in there. Our bathroom was so small, you couldn't even get in it by yourself. You could sit on the commode, brush your teeth in the sink, and wash your feet in the tub and never move. And do all three at the same time. And I'm not kidding. Yeah, buddy. I'm not kidding. It was tight. Can I tell you something? You don't have to live at your mom and dad's income level. You know, I don't try to live at the income level my mom and dad live now. My dad's retired. He's worked his whole life. I haven't worked my whole life yet. Quit trying to live at somebody else's income level. Wow. Next. By the way, it's time for some of you to start starting a retirement package for heaven. You got one here on earth. How about heaven? Every person you witness to, every person you win to Christ, you're sending things ahead. You know, being a blessing to others, God's putting things in heaven towards your inheritance. Did you know that obeying, watch this, that obeying the will of God gives you blessings in your inheritance? Do you know that if my brother and I don't follow my dad's will, and my mom's will, we'll lose benefits from it? Some of you are losing benefits by not obeying the will of God. By the way, here we go, number three and I'm done. Heaven is where you get your full reward. Heaven is where you will get your full reward. Let me read a verse to you from Colossians chapter 3. You need not turn there. But Colossians chapter 3, let me read verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Do you know what? God doesn't respect the preacher more than he does the average church member. You know, I'm supposed to follow the same laws you follow. You know, I don't win souls because I'm the preacher. I win souls because God commanded me to. You know, I don't try to be a blessing so that I can be the preacher. No, I'm supposed to do that because that's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. You see, we don't see the full reward because life's not over yet. And until we get to heaven and until everything is done here on earth, we're not receiving the full reward. Did you know, listen to this statement, your investment can keep growing after you're gone? Let's say my dad leaves my brother and I $10,000 each. I can go out and spend it on something, or I can leave it in an account somewhere, turn interest, and make my dad's living increase in value more. Guess what? When you invest in heaven, you're gaining. Did you know? Okay, my pastor that trained me in the ministry, Dr. Jack Hiles, has been in heaven for 14 years. Did you know that the influence of Dr. Jack Hiles is multiplied many times over? Did you realize that God's investment, listen to me, God's investment through Brother Hiles is still producing results for Brother Hiles? Say why? Because everything he taught me that I'm doing, guess what? There's been almost 2,000 people saved in the last 2.5 years. And some of that's going to his credit because he taught us what to do. Do you know that I don't even know the name of the Sunday school teacher who won me to Christ at the Canton Baptist Temple. Wished it did. Did you know that day about 44 years ago when we knelt down at a little kindergartner-sized chair and she opened the Bible and showed me the gospel? Did you know, she's probably dead and gone by now, but did you know she's still reaping benefits from what I'm doing? My wife and I won a couple to Christ in South Carolina. They're now missionaries in Costa Rica. I haven't seen them in years, but guess what? We're still reaping benefits for it. Can I tell you something? We don't know how big our inheritance could be. We have no idea. As long as we just keep doing and obeying, one day when we get to heaven, God's going to say, let me show you what you got left. But I wonder how many of us are spending too much of it before we get there. I don't know about you. I'm willing to work for less pay for better retirement. I really am. Everybody doing all right? I believe you should put money away for your retirement. I do. My brother was just here a couple weeks ago, and he and I talked. I said, Chris, I hope Mom and Dad spend everything they have because they've worked hard for it. I do. It wouldn't hurt me at all. He said, I do too. They worked hard for it. Can I tell you something? I'm not looking for them. I want them to enjoy what they worked hard for. Can you imagine what heaven's going to be like if you start putting things away for heaven? Every time you give your tithes and your offerings, you're investing in your eternity. Every time you win a soul or witness to someone, you're investing in your eternity. Every time you read the will and testament, the Bible, you're investing in your eternity, in your retirement. Huh. Bible says in Colossians 3:2, set not your affections on things on earth, but things above. Wow. Some of us are so fleshly minded. We want everything now. God, I have to have a blessing now. I'm not saying if you have a need, listen to the statement. We're supposed to go to Him for our needs. But so many of us unwisely go into financial debt that we create a need that He didn't want us to have. And then you're spending that to cover the debt, and you're spending a little bit. Hey, let's be wise. I'm not saying it's wrong to go in debt. But I am saying this. Sometimes we foolishly go into debt. Our world is so focused on now. We're like a bunch of animals that we got to consume everything that comes our way. About 85% of all America lives paycheck to paycheck. That's all they have. They have nothing left over, no cushion, no nothing. And sometimes they don't even live paycheck to paycheck because there's too much month at the end of the paycheck. We're in debt. Our country's in debt. Multiplied tens of trillions of dollars in debt, and I hate to tell you this, the end is near. I'm not a fatalist. But there's world crisis on the way. The catalyst for the Antichrist and the rapture will be global bankruptcy. I want you to inherit the wealth of God. Can I tell you something? God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Not only that, He owns the hills. He owns the gold in them there hills, and He owns the very world that them hills sit on. He owns it all. He owns all the universe. I don't know about you, and I'd like to be a joint heir with that, wouldn't you? I'm for you asking God to help you with some things, but I wonder how many times we pass by blessings and we want the blessing now versus the blessing later. Every once in a while, I ask God, would you let us know your hand is still on our church? And every time I do, He says, you'll know when it's not. You'll know when it's not. Do you want the blessing now or do you want it later? And I've waited. And I've waited. Guess what? We're seeing the blessing now. We've invested. We've done that which we were following according to his will, and now we get to reap some of the blessing. But I wonder how many blessings we're sending on ahead. Heaven will be populated with people because of the influence of Grace Baptist Church. Wow. We have our church website. I don't even understand it because I don't live in the website era. But we've got people from foreign countries that listen to our sermons every week. We're getting emails from all over the world saying, "Do you have more?" It's amazing to me. We don't know how big the influence is. We're not supposed to measure it. We're just supposed to do it. Let's quit measuring and let's start doing. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're going to heaven? Have you even signed up to be a part of the family? Well, guess what? You can. You don't have to walk out those doors unsure of heaven when you die. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, was born of a virgin, shed his blood at Calvary, died and resurrected and conquered death for you to pay your sin debt so that you could become a child of God.
That's right.
And a joint heir with him. You don't have to go to hell. Can I tell you something, Christian? I wonder how many of us are spending it in righteous living. How many of us are spending up our inheritance? Maybe we should start living with an inheritance in mind. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I won't be long, but I want you to close your eyes and bow your head for a moment. I want you to be honest for a moment. Who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I wouldn't lie to you." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. And thank you. Thank you so much for your honesty. Who would say, "Preacher, if I died today, I'm really not sure I'd go to heaven, but someday I'd like to be know that." Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? Okay. Who would say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God spoke to me. There's an area of that sermon that I need for my life." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. You may put them down. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized, we can take care of that today. If you've been saved and you've been baptized by immersion and you'd like to join our church, we'd love to have you today. Maybe you just need, if you raised your hand, I believe you ought to come to this altar and talk to God for a moment. Oh, somebody might think I'm a sinner. Nope, we already know you are. We're all sinners. Don't worry about it. This is a place to get things right.